Spiritual warfare has changed. It's no more in a devil with a pitchfork. It's in the technology that we carry about every day.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
I'm going to speak this morning on an important subject. I know some of you are wondering, why is there a computer? Why is there a phone? And then I have a cell phone also in my hands. If you can't see, get close. Because some of you, I realize, are stretching. If you cannot see, get close. We'll be using as a subject this morning, how is my phone changing me? How is my phone changing me? Everybody bring out your cell phones. And when I say my phone, I am not talking about the old phone, because I know you don't use those. I'm talking about my cell phones. Everybody got one? Come on. Let me see it. You brought it in, so put it up. Let's see it. Awesome. A few of our ladies here have brought our college students together to help them walk and deal with the Lord and continue to live with the Lord. And one of them asked me a very important question. And whilst I was researching and praying through it, I thought about teaching you as parents first. Is that okay? All right. They wanted to know the role of technology and social media and how it affects our spiritual lives. But I have titled it, How is My Phone Changing me? Say that with me. Now, I want you to lift up the phone like that so we can see it. How is my changing me? Don't talk about somebody else. Talk about you. Because it is certainly changing every single one of us. In 2007, Steve Jobs, through Apple, brought the first iPhone. It came as a 3G. How many of you remember 3G phone? I had one. But what I want to show you is that in the olden days, before a person was going to pass, truth was passed on, first of all, through what is called the oral tradition. Oral tradition means when an elder person is dying, this individual will begin to speak and everybody gathers around. And that is how certain truths were what? Transferred. Over time, we moved from what is called the oral tradition, and then we got to the scribal tradition, where we began to write. We began to what? Write. So they started making papers. Then from the writing tradition, we got to photography, where they started making pictures. Then from the pictures, how many of you remember the old black pictures? Not the ones they make these days, the real ones. The black and white, yeah. You remember those? I know the kids are looking, what was that? I'll come to you, we'll get to you. And so you will notice that we are moving from an oral tradition where somebody is disseminating truth. Jesus did it by simply what? Speaking it. And then they started writing it. Then we started taking photos. Then from photography, we came to what is called the multimedia. And the multimedia is a combination of the oral, of the scribal, of the photo. Everything has been put. And it was put into something called the computer. Big CPU. with all of that. Now, can somebody tell me when your phone rang, what is the thing you did? You see, you all say you are checking caller ID. That's not true. When the phone used to be like that, did you check a caller ID? What did you do? Because it was like that, you simply pick up the phone and you put it to your... Okay. So over time, whatever is in these computers and the phones, now everything has been packed into that. And never underestimate a phone, a cell phone today, a smartphone. You are carrying in your hands centuries of development from the oral tradition to the scribal tradition, through photography, through videos, through computers and TV, and now that. When the phone rings, what do? You simply pick it up and then say hello. Everything has been packed into this. Now, back then, if your computer was sitting in one place, you couldn't go anywhere with it, correct? But now, this can be taken where? Everywhere. And is doing some damage. Everybody open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to read two scriptures. Now, there are five purposes for every Christian. And this cell phone is messing with it. And today I want us to look at it. Five purposes for every believer in Christ. Are you in the book of Matthew? Look at 22. From verse 37 to verse 40, if you can read with me, that would be great, shall we? Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on this two words." Everybody say the great commandment. In the great commandment, we find two purposes for every Christian. If you are claiming, "I don't know my purpose," these two verses will tell you, and I will show it to you. All right? Purpose number one that we find from this verse is that it is called love the Lord your God with all your that is your purpose on earth. And for I will use one word to describe that. It's called worship. In worship, we love the Lord with all our hearts. But today, this thing is messing around with it. And I want us to address it. Are you here with me? In the same verses in the book of Matthew 22, we find a second purpose for you and I. He says, love your neighbor as your that is serving. Serving. So purpose number one for you and I as a Christian is to worship. Purpose number two is ministry or simply serving. You're supposed to serve your neighbor. Husbands serve your wives. Wives serve your husbands. Children serve your parents. Parents serve their children. Pastors serve their church members. Church members serve their pastor. Everybody serves. All right. Second scripture, Matthew 28. Here Jesus, this is last moment, and he says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am always with you even to the end of the age." Purpose number three, please write it down. Every believer is supposed to go and make disciples. If you just come to church and go home, you are not fulfilling your purpose until you love the Lord with all your heart, worship. You are serving your neighbor as God wants you to. And thirdly, you are witnessing or evangelizing. Go make disciples is what? Witnessing. Number four, he says, baptize them. Anytime you talk about baptism, it has everything to do with identification. Back in those days, rabbis baptized their followers so that there will be a form of identification that they identify with that particular kind of what? Rabbi. So in baptism, we identify with Christ. The book of Romans, the scripture says, know you not that through your baptism, we identify with the death, resurrection, and the burial of the Lord Jesus. Are you guys following me? So that is fellowship. Purpose number one is what? Worship. Purpose number two is service. Purpose number three, witnessing. Purpose number four, fellowship. And purpose number five is discipleship. Discipleship. He said, teaching them to obey. This is where the dilemma is with the phone. Because Christians are gradually becoming more and more disobedient because we are not handling this the right way. And today I want us to talk about it. Can we do that? Can we? So let's recap. What are the five purposes for you and I? Discipleship. Discipleship simply means spiritual maturity, growing as a believer. Some of us, we have grown in years in church, but we've not grown as a people. God wants us to grow. Amen. I said, God wants us to what? Grow. Awesome. Awesome. God wants us to grow. Our phones are affecting our worship. It is affecting the other things. But the thing that is really affecting it so badly is discipleship. And any Christian who is not growing, it means all the other areas are going to suffer. So we want to address that today. Is that okay? All right. Everybody's got a phone? Please don't be afraid. I'm not here to attack a phone. I have one in my hands. It is a good thing, but it is also a bad thing. It depends on how you're using it. And I'll give you some statistics. Let's go back to the beginning. I want to show you a few pictures how the phone is destroying a lot of things. Give me the first picture for people who are on a metro train. Now, you can see that these people are all on what? They're on metro train, right? Anybody talking to anybody? So if somebody was stabbing somebody, would anybody see it? They will record it. And do what with it? Listen to me. It was Malcolm McGrich, one of the atheists of our time who became a believer, who said that the message used to be carried through a medium, but now the medium has become the message. We're supposed to carry a message through the phone, but the phone itself has become what? The message. That's where the danger is. And by the way, we are no better than the people in the world. We are mishandling this. And today we want to learn. Give me the next picture. You see, so these people are eating. And the kids are on phone. Daddy is watching TV. So any good thing that could have happened during dinner, whilst everybody is sitting on the table, is being destroyed by
the phone.
Technology. Mm-hmm. I'm not only just talking about phone. My focus is on the phone because the phone is the one we carry everywhere. I'm talking about tablets. I'm talking about computers. I'm talking about TVs. I'm talking about, every gadget. Even my glasses is technology. Without it, I couldn't read. I don't need my glasses for seeing. I can see all those little things from the back. But as soon as it's close to me, I need technology. So there's a good to it. But this little thing here, it's causing a mess. Give me the next picture. This is someone who is watching TV. But did God make you to multitask? Did God make you to multitask? See, now people are afraid to answer. The Bible says you cannot have two masters. There are certain simple, basic things in the scriptures. This thing is destroying it. Gradually, we start changing our theology because of what goes on here. If a man marries three women and claims he can love all of them equally, he's a liar. He loves one, he's using the other two. And that is why Jesus said, you can either serve God or you serve what? You have not been designed to do that. A human being loves one thing at a time. This is teaching you, you can watch TV, be on the stuff. God, I am more worried about the principles that is being destroyed because of it. How can you claim to love Jesus and love Satan at the same time? Can't do that. Either Jesus is Lord of all, or he is none at all. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's either Jesus or Muhammad. Can't be both. The next picture. These are people going to work. And what do you think they are doing? They are crossing the street. Before there were cell phones, when you cross the street, what did you do? You look to the left and you look to the. Now we don't. The driver must wait. We laugh at it, but we are all in it. Me inclusive. We are all what? In it. Give me the next picture. Now, something is happening and people are recording it. Not that you don't know. You know. But I'm just going to bring it to your attention. Then we figure out how we're going to live and get better. Are you hearing me? Let me share a statistic with you. It is believed that the average person picks up his phone every 10 minutes. And that is equal to 96 times in one day. In one day, you have 1,440 minutes. That's 24 times. So, if you spend 10 minutes, every 10 minutes, ting ting, and that is when the how you feel, not when the ting ting comes. You know the ting ting? Okay. One of the things I've done is I've turned off notifications on my phone. But still, there is something that makes me go back to the phone. Do you realize that these days when we are doing number two, we still have in the bathrooms. And then when two married people are on the bed about to sleep, okay, I'll keep that picture. But one's face is here doing their thing. The other one's face is doing their thing. What is the phone doing to them? It's not distraction. What is the phone doing to them? It's destroying the relationship. Then after that, you come and bind Satan. Right here. You have it right here. This is what you need to bind. Spiritual warfare has changed. It's no more in a devil with a pitchfork. It's in the technology that we carry about every day. You carry it every day. We are in prayer meeting. Today we are going to bind Satan. We bind him. The devil, we kick you in the name of Jesus. Kick you in the name of the Lord. And after that, you pick it up. He is with you. I want us to be a bit serious about our spiritual walk, because Satan is winning the spiritual warfare so fast. 96 times a day, we pick this. And this is the average. That's not the low user. This is average. The low user is about 81 times a day. So my whole point is that if we're going to spend that much of time on this device, that puts a computer, a book, phones, everything in our pocket, then we ought to pay attention. Please write this down. Your smartphone is the new source for old temptations. Satan hasn't changed. He still presents the same old temptations. He's just changed the source. It's here. How many men have not destroyed their marriage because they got connected over a social media platform with an old girlfriend after they got born again? You look good. You look good. How many kids you got? Then they start crossing boundaries and say, hey, but I'm married. He said, but I'm also married. What is it that connected the two of you? That. Before then, married men didn't have that problem. If they have, they have to physically be in the presence of someone. Now this is making it easier. Do you realize that all the WhatsApp platforms that you are on, okay, that we are on, it's either they're taking money from you, they don't even present business ideas and tell people how to get better. But today is tomorrow, this person's funeral, this person's party, this person's this, this person's that. I remember when my old school says they're going to put me on the platform. Our brother who is past, Philip, was the president. I said, Philip, just tell the people they should leave me alone. When they need the money, they should tell me through you, and I'll contribute. But you will not be sending me text at the time when I want to hear the voice of God for God's people. Discipleship, my brother, it's getting harder and harder because we have what? Jesus says, teach them to what? Obey. And that is becoming a problem. So I'm going to look at the positive aspects of this technology, and then we will look at how it is destroying us, and then how we can come back and use it the right way. Is that okay? Yes, sir. Number one, the phone would always waste your time. Negative effects of smartphones on our lives. Number one, it's a time waster. It simply wastes your time. Can I do the math? Every 10 to 12 minutes you pick it up, 96 times, meaning that if you have 24 hours in a day, for a normal person who lives 79 years, right? You'll be living close to about 27,000 plus days. 11 years will be spent on that. 3,000 will be taken to the bathroom. You spend an extra 3,000 hours going to work, 9,000 of them sleeping. So you start doing the math and you realize that you have actually wasted the good time you had with this thing. Don't tell me Satan didn't know we were praying, so he decided to change his strategy by bringing something good to the world. But as long as you and I don't know how to handle it, you can bind him all you want. He's winning. I hate to say Satan is winning, but he's winning. Amen? So, negative effect, number one, is that it wastes our time. Number two, we embrace unimportant as important. Do you realize that there are people who fight over social media? Somebody put up a post, and the thing is not important, and there are people fighting over it. So we are embracing the unimportant as important. Number three, it desensitizes us to sin. The first time you see the nakedness of an opposite sex, you close your eyes. You see, second time, you close your eyes. The third time, you close your eyes and leave some. Then after a while, I've seen it. Now, it used to be not close to you. But right now, it's in your pocket. Because where is it? It's on that. You are carrying TV, you are carrying computer, you are carrying a phone. I told you when that phone rang and they told me to pick it up. Did I even look at the phone? I just pick it up. But now when the phone rings, what's the first thing you do? So we are being forced to look at the screen so many times in a day. No amount of prayer will stop its effect on your brain. You have to do something about it. Are you guys with me? It desensitizes to sin. Number four, it draws us to unproductive arguments. Somebody come and puts it there. The Bible was written by man. Social media. And we are fighting over it. There are some things I don't spend my energy talking about. It's like when somebody says, speaking in tongues is not correct. I told you, how are you to mock people when they spoke in tongues? Until the day it came on me and people had to come and carry me and pour water on me and remind me, hey, you are in a bathroom, everybody's going to use it, get out. After that, you can bring me every theology in this world. I believe in speaking in tongues. There are some things you should not even spend your energy. And you find Christians fighting over. I want to prove to them. Really? Let me ask all of you. Which group of people experienced the most powerful miracles on earth? Anybody? The Israelites. Did they believe God? Did they believe God? The greater number of them did not. Miracles are important. But I'm telling you, it is not the basis of belief, because there are people who will see miracles and still not believe God. Human beings, we are human beings. And we get drawn. And then you are using words and you are throwing words. I'm going to type something and show it to the people. The Bible says, be careful of every word you are speaking. When it comes to social media, when you type it, you speak it. A good computer genius said these three things. He says, Pastor, be careful of what you post, because what you post is global. It is permanent, because it's in the caches, and it is searchable. Young ladies, anybody wants to see you naked, please do not show it to them, because it becomes global, it can be searchable, and it is permanent. Somebody said something online that infuriated you, then you started using a bunch of crazy words. It is global. It is searchable. It is permanent. What did you say? It will destroy you the day you start running for Congress. When he was in high school. Are you learning anything today? It's not new. You know it. I'm just reminding you. The one that really bothers me is the next one. The temptation to compete and show off. Somebody posts something. You also want to show them that you know a lot. So you also go and... But the Bible warns us against showing off. I've often heard people say, Pastor, but can you just flex your muscles so that people will see you too, you are there. I said, what do I gain? I have to flex my muscles. I said, what matters when you stand before God? You give account for everything. Everything you said. Even the ones that nobody was there to hear.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.